Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust.
The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows it over and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts.
The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Good morning and welcome to the second week in our series, I Want to Believe But. Today we are looking at a very challenging belief blocker, heartless God. Is God heartless? I want to begin this morning by, first of all, introducing you to the newest member of my family. Meet Layla. We got her from a farm in Braidwood. She's a Kelpie cross border collie, and she's an awesome dog so far. Great puppy, but a real handful. In fact, when she was 8 weeks old, she survived salmonella poisoning. I was preparing for a sermon, and let's just say what happened next, I don't want to speak about again. Quickly got her to the vet. She also was out walking with me one morning, and we're just literally on the footpath across the road from my house, and she nearly got tagged by a baby brown snake. If you don't believe me, check out this photo. I just pulled her back in time because this baby snake just went to strike her. It was just literally on the footpath. And then at 12 weeks of age, one of my boys, or I don't know who, but somebody left the front door open, and it was really late in the afternoon, and she got out. I thought we lost her. I was running around the neighborhood calling her name, and fortunately she just went across a very busy road to a young family. She's a really personable dog. She's got lots of tail wags for everyone. She's such a social dog, but I thought I lost her that day. And then last week, I was walking her and I dropped the lead. And seriously, we're running up this hill together towards a very busy road. I had one chance. I dived across the footpath, grazing both my knees, and I just managed to grab hold of her lead before she ran onto a busy road. I mean, quite the entrance this young puppy Layla is for us, quite a handful. I was thinking, don't worry about pet insurance. I reckon you need handler's insurance. And don't talk to me about my nice green grass, my backyard. Just don't email me, don't call me, just don't go there. One thing I love about this dog, though, is that it's taken us out onto the streets. We're walking with the masses of people that are daily exercising, and who doesn't love a puppy? And it's been a great opportunity to chat with people and just to ask how people are going. I mean, we've got Wesley, who actually said, you know, the whole world is my parish and I'm taking that on. What's really interesting as I'm chatting with people, it's not the fear of getting sick that's most pressing. It's economic insecurity. It's the chance of losing a job. It seems to be what's troubling people the most, and I can understand that. You know, we've had 29 years without recession. And Australia, we are the second most indebted household on the planet. Over some good times, we've borrowed a lot of money, and right now there's a real fear on how do we pay back our bills? How do we get enough money? And so I've really been thinking about this whole idea of a collective loss of control that people are experiencing. I'm reading some economic commentators that are reflecting on the bounce back, and some people are saying that it's going to be like a V. You know, the market has dropped and then it will just bounce back really quickly. Others are reflecting that it's no more like an L shape, that the market's dropped and we're just going to go along the bottom of the market for quite some time. But one thing is for sure, nobody knows how long we're going to be like this. In fact, what really concerns me is the social consequences and the social impact that our economic crisis and the health crisis is actually going to have on our community. When there is a collective loss of control, I believe two very strong realities come into play. There's fragility and grief. Fragility really being that we've worked hard to create what is this economic bubble, this little asset bubble that we've got. And now that our security is threatened, we're realizing that, you know what, life is fragile. Our assets are actually quite fragile, and it creates fear. There's also a loss when it comes to grief. Grief is loss, and we have lost a certain amount of our freedoms. And along with fragility and grief, I think it gives birth to questions. How are we going to cope in this collective loss of control? Where is God right now? Why doesn't God just stop the crush of COVID? There are a lot of people suffering and struggling. Is God heartless? And that's our belief blocker today. Why doesn't God just stop the spread of COVID? Where is God? Is God heartless? As disciples of Jesus, initially our response, we need to remember that when sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3, that our world has been groaning ever since. There has been many disasters and catastrophes before COVID, and there will be many more disasters after, unfortunately. Our world is groaning. But what I love about being a disciple of Jesus is that at the center of Christianity is a God who bled and died so that we can have both hope and freedom in our struggle. It's completely unique to philosophies or other religious worldviews that at the center of our faith is a God that suffered so that we can be free in the struggle and in the groaning of life. I'm sure this morning it's going to take eyes of faith, but I want us to work through Psalm 103 and to allow King David to adjust our thinking so that we can look beyond the groaning to a powerful creator God who is love. I recently was reading Psalm 103 just in my garden, in my front yard, thinking about this topic of heartless God. And I really do believe that Psalm 103 is a means to remember that God is gracious. He is still gracious. And in verses 1 and 2, allow me to read them for you. Praise or bless the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This word praise in Hebrew, it's also bless, and it means kneel, to kneel before God. What David is doing is he's inviting us to bless the Lord with our praise and our worship of him. You see, King David was a man who was very passionate, and he also felt things deeply. David felt this complete loss of control, collective loss of control as we do, and the fragility and the grief that comes alongside of it. You know, he cries out and groans, "Where are you, God?" all throughout the Psalms. "Answer my cry, God. I need you now more than ever." David experienced this collective loss of control. And out of that came these beautiful psalms that we have today. And so what David's actually doing, he's speaking to the seed of his emotions that have been darkened by trouble. And he calls his emotions by faith to bless the Lord with praise and worship. And I guess that's what I'm asking of us today. That we would call by faith our emotions darkened by trouble to bless the Lord and to praise the Lord, even on this day of lockdown. "Bless the Lord, O my soul," David said, "all my inmost being, praise his holy name." You see, real authentic worship, it comes from the core, from the inside of our soul. It's an outward expression of the inner freedom that we have in Christ to honor God with our praise and our worship. David then says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Remember the goodness of God when it gets dark. I highlighted that for you. Forget not all of his benefits. Let me ask you, what are you currently thankful for? What has been the benefits of God in your life? And once this service is over, I encourage you to go and think about what are the benefits of God. What King David actually does in this psalm is that he goes on and he lists at least four benefits of God that I would like to point out. Benefits that reflect that God is not heartless, rather God is love and is gracious even today. The first benefit that David points out for us is that he forgives all your sins. Verse 3, it just says that, "who forgives all your sins." Remember the magnitude and the gravity of our sin. And contrast that to the cleansing waterfall of God's grace. I've got an image here of a person in the waterfall. I've used this image a number of times this year, and I want to encourage you again that God's grace, his forgiveness, it's a little bit like for us as disciples of Jesus. We are standing in the waterfall of God's forgiveness, and there is never a drought in heaven. The waterfall of God's grace constantly washes over us, cleansing us. It was a really helpful image for me this year. Sometimes I really struggle with, I'm forgiven and yet I'm still sinful. How does that work? Well, this image of a waterfall, it reminds me that I am in the waterfall of God's grace. And sure, my hands reach out to grab hold of sin, and that's the wrong thing to do. But even as I reach out to grab hold of that sin, even there, the waterfall of God's grace and his forgiveness washes over me and over you. And David is reflecting on this as a core benefit of God, inviting us in to worship him. You see, our biggest problem has been taken away from us. We face many problems and challenges and catastrophes in life, but our biggest problem is sin. It's what separates us from God. God has dealt with that. Jesus bled and died on the cross. There is no more graphic picture of God's love than Jesus on the cross dying for our sin so that we can live in the waterfall of God's grace. David goes on to celebrate the forgiveness that washes over our soul in verse 10. "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, So far has he removed our transgression, which is just our sin, our rebellion against God, from us. Oh, sit in verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. You know, when people offend us, it's really easy to hold on to anger, to want to flesh out and get revenge. But our rebellion against God, God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, which is eternal separation from God. No, God is love. God is not heartless. And as far as the east is from the west, you are forgiven. I'm not sure what the week has been like for you, what your sinful habits have done to your soul right now. But I want to say something really important to you. If you are feeling guilty and shameful, I want you to hear this again. All your sins are forgiven when you call upon the name of Jesus. You are standing in the waterfall of God's grace and love. You need to hear that again today. You are forgiven in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. The second benefit that David brings about the love of God is from pit to crown. In verse 4, we actually read, "He who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." Whenever the word pit is used in the Bible, it's a symbol, and this is a poetic symbol for destruction. So often in life, we can make some poor choices and we can end up in a pit. It could be the pit of bitterness or anger, or we've made some foolish decisions and we've got to live in the consequences of those choices, and we can end up in a pit. God is not heartless. When you call upon His name, He lifts you up out of that pit. And He doesn't just lift you out of the pit. He takes you out of the pit and He puts a crown on your head. It's a beautiful poetic symbol. He crowns you with His love and with His compassion. What was the last pit that you found yourself in? Are you in a pit today? Just call upon the name of Jesus and God will lift you up out of that pit. He has the power to do that. And He then puts a crown of His love and compassion on you. You are so loved by God. Today, I too wear a crown that God gives me of His love and His compassion. God is not heartless. I remember driving home from Bible college one day, many moons ago now, and I was living at East Heathcote, crossed over the bridge there at East Heathcote in John Paul Village, was on my way home. And I'll never forget this powerful little symbol that I saw of an elderly woman in a wheelchair. And just behind her was maybe her grandson or her son, I'm not quite sure, but he was just standing directly behind her and he just had his hands on her shoulders. It was in the middle of winter and it was a beautiful, warm winter's day and they were just soaking up the sun rays. I'll never forget that image because it was such a powerful symbol of the power of presence. So often in life, we can be crippled by the challenge of life. What I really love is that our God is always standing there, even though at times we need some time out in that wheelchair. God is right there with His hand on us. That is His crown of love and compassion. It's His presence with us from pit to crown. The third benefit that David unpacks for us is He satisfies your desires with good things. And in verse 5, we read the very words, "Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Our definition of good can be very different from God's good. We need to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and see God's understanding of good. Because when God made the earth, He said it was good. But when God made you, He said that you are very good. God's brand of goodness is different from our worldly earthbound understanding of good. Our idea of good is fleeting. It's circumstantial. It's like grabbing hold of mist. It's there one moment and then it's gone. But God's brand of goodness is lasting. In fact, we see that it renews. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. It's a goodness that renews. Think about the strength of an eagle. I've got an image there for you of an eagle. Quite an incredible bird. Its power, its strength, its speed, its precision, its energy. It's an incredible bird. And David uses the eagle as a poetic symbol of God's goodness, that his goodness renews. In fact, his goodness is real kingdom joy that Pastor Sam spoke about last week. God is not a killjoy. In fact, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." And here's a truth for us this morning. God's goodness is joy that strengthens. God's goodness is joy that strengthens. Personally, God's goodness to me, the joy that strengthens my soul, is when I'm with my friends out in creation, when I'm sharing life with Michelle, my wife, when I'm with my three sons. These are good, good things that the Lord has blessed me with, and it satisfies, but it also brings joy that renews. The goodness of God, it gives us strength, and it emerges out of a blessing of joy upon our soul. Let me ask you, over the years, how has God satisfied you with his good things? I encourage you to think about that. How has God satisfied you with his good things? Fourthly and last benefit that I'm listing for us from Psalm 103 is our mortality, God's everlasting love. I think for me, this is the high point of the psalm. Verse 14, "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man and woman, our days are like grass. We flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." We will not always be around. Life is fragile. The poetic symbolism of a flower that blooms and looks so beautiful for a moment, and then the wind blows, the flower is remembered no more. What a parallel to our life. You know, if we live to 80 and beyond, that's a blessing. But it's interesting that when we've breathed our last, we will be remembered from the generation behind us, but when that generation is gone, we'll be remembered no more. And yet for those who fear God, who respect and obey him, who follow Jesus with both our feet, God's love will carry us into eternity and we will live from everlasting to everlasting. You'll be remembered by God for all eternity. And we are carried there by his love. Our call is to worship him, and out of worship to fear him as we live in the waterfall of his grace. Forget not all his benefits, David says. Mays, in his commentary on the Psalms, he writes this quote for us about Psalm 103. "It gives voice to the thankfulness of sinners that the Lord is a God of mercy and grace." God is not heartless, As disciples of Jesus, again I say, we are forgiven. We live in the waterfall of his grace, constantly being cleansed from our sin. He's reached out to us and keeps reaching out to us. He takes us out of the pit. He puts a crown of his love and his compassion on us. He satisfies us with good things. His joy renews us with strength. And when we've breathed our last, his love will carry us on from everlasting to everlasting. Forget not all his benefits. I want to make this very important point. COVID does not make God heartless. Rather, I trust that Psalm 103 today, that it has been a truth to pick you up. May we, like King David, may we call on our emotions by faith to bless the Lord with worship and praise, with the benefits of God deep within our soul. May our worship, may it emerge out of the goodness and love of God upon our life. I think in order to actually be in that posture of worship, we need God to deepen our faith. How are we going to do that? I want to get practical for us here. You need to turn your eyes to Jesus. You need to keep looking into the very face of Jesus and nowhere else. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Look upon the face of Jesus. Gaze upon him. It's the only way for our faith to deepen. How are we going to do that? Let's get even more practical. I'd love to leave you a challenge this week. I want to call it the Mark Challenge. I want to encourage you this week to read through the Gospel of Mark. It's a rapid-fire gospel, the Gospel of Mark, and this is our opportunity to stare at the face of Jesus. Because it's only when we're looking at Jesus that our faith will deepen and we will be able to see beyond the groaning of our world to a God of love who crowns us every day with his presence. When you're reading the Gospel of Mark, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer. Lord, show me your heart. It's a simple prayer. Just pray it before you start reading Mark. Lord, show me your heart. God will do that. You'll experience him in his word. Your faith will deepen. I want to give you that great challenge this week. But this psalm, it concludes, I love the conclusion, with this great declaration of the unlimited sovereignty of the Lord of the cosmos. We read in verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord. God's everlasting kingdom rules over all. David summons the angels to worship God, and he calls us today. He invites us to also worship God now that we can remember all his benefits. God is not heartless. God is love. Let's worship him this week. Let's look upon the face of Jesus and let's experience his love and mercy again. I want to pray for us. You know, if you're feeling like you're in that wheelchair crippled, I want to pray for you. If you're feeling like you're just in that pit and you just need a hand out, you need the touch of God again, I just want to pray for you. If you're feeling right now that you are soaring like an eagle and you're experiencing God's goodness, well, I also want to pray for you that you will not forget that it's God who puts you up in the sky. It's God who enables you to soar. Don't forget him. We can still have great joy in the struggle. I want to pray for you that you would know the love of God today, and that when you're out walking, make sure you meet people. Make sure you greet people. Make sure you ask somebody, how are you going? Take opportunities this week to talk about the love of God and ask the Spirit to give you the words to say. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this rich opportunity to worship you even in the challenge of life. We want to thank you, Lord, that we can remember and celebrate some of your great benefits upon our soul. Thank you, Father, that you shower us in the waterfall of your grace. We are forgiven. Praise you, Lord, that you've rescued us from the pit and crowned us with love and compassion. We thank you, Jesus, that you satisfy us with good things that renews us with great joy. And we thank you, Lord, that when we've breathed our last, your love will carry us from everlasting to everlasting. Father, I pray for your little ones today, those that feel a little crippled. Would you just stand alongside your little ones with your presence? For those, Father, that feel like they're in a pit reaching out for you, Father, pick them out right now and crown them again with love and compassion. Father, for those that feel like they're soaring with you, Lord, I pray that we'll always remember that it's you that gives us the capacity to fly. It's you that gives us the ability to live. And so we want to thank you for our life. It is a gift. This week, Lord, as we go about our life and as we walk, give us the courage to share your love and to speak your truth to others this week. Lord, we want to worship you this week. We want to worship you, remembering all your benefits. We want to look upon you, Jesus, as we open the Gospel of Mark. In Jesus' name, amen.